Hello, we're the Skate Bum Boys. I'm David.
And I am not.
This week, you're going to get a double load from us, you lucky things.
Two is always better than one, so we're going to bundle together the semi and the final for this week's episode.
And let's be honest, we'd be dragging out the recap of the final, which is always the slowest episode of the series.
It is indeed. We also have some news. This is our last Bake Off episode for a wee while. From next week, we're going to be diving into one of my favourite television shows of all time, The Traitors.
Yes. We loved The Traitors UK last year, and there's a brand new season of The Traitors US, hosted by the iconic Alan Cumming. In the UK, it's on the BBC iPlayer, and in the US, it's on Peacock.
I cannot explain how excited I am. It is the campus show of all time. Plus, we're going to have some very special, treacherous guests.
Anyway, that's enough. Talk about blowing your load too early. We've still got some Bake Off to talk about. Let's go.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're going to fire through these two episodes. I feel like what happened was we both watched Patisserie Week very closely, and then with the final, we both kind of didn't really pay attention.
But I think, like we've said in the intro, the final often is a bit of a kind of like a...
bit of a damp squib.
Yeah.
Let's go quickly into Patisserie Week then. So the signature, they had to make 8 patisserie-style layered slices in 3 hours. What do we think?
I quite like this one.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. It was quite straightforward.
It's quite, yeah. But then for us, like you say... we can't complain because for a signature, you want it to be something, and patisserie's quite high-end, and you want it to be something where people can think, okay, I can try that myself and put my own signature on it.
They've learned from when you were on it because they've said patisserie-style layered slices, not just layered slices, because when they said to make a cake, you just made a cake.
And when we actually realised that in patisserie, you can actually just have layers of sponge with buttercream, that is still patisserie. Thank you very much, Jürgen, for pointing that out.
Yeah. So Jürgen, though, his cakes and buttercreams were weird. He was doing like one beetroot and one cassis. I don't think I like beetroot in a buttercream. I don't think I'm for that.
No, beetroot in a cake works quite well, but also as a standalone kind of flavour. Yes, it's a beautiful colour, so it can bring colour, but why wouldn't you do beetroot to get the colour and then something with the flavour?
Yeah, it didn't kind of work out for me. What's cassis? Is that blackberry?
Blackcurrant.
Blackcurrant, sure. I mean, he didn't get a handshake, so it clearly wasn't very good.
I know, that was the thing about the signature was it just felt quite brutal. I love the fact that basically before the signature started, the bits outside, Giuseppe was like, oh, I needed to buy a new shirt because I didn't think I was going to be this far. And Jürgen's like, I'm going to smash this.
Yeah.
And then it was
quite
awkward.
Do you know what? Maybe this is me being conspiracy theorist-y. I think they decided he wasn't going to make it. Because they always want in a semi-final a really big eviction to be like, this is like a drama moment. That, like, this person should be in the final. They want the uproar so that they get all those views. And I think they decided. I mean, for example, all of them getting handshakes apart from Jürgen.
Yeah.
They were trying to get rid of Jürgen, no?
I think you could be onto something. As well, if we're thinking about demographics and how... because obviously, as we've said before, this show does generally just work as it is, as you see it.
Yeah.
But there's a certain level... like, in the final, you want to have different kinds of people. And so I kind of had the feeling it's going to either be Giuseppe or Jürgen going, because they're kind of the same demographic. White, middle-aged, foreign man.
Again, you just hate the foreigners, don't you? Real Brexit Britain speaking here. So Chicks was making a very simple, he was doing the very David school of Bake Off. He was doing very simple
but
raspberry
perfect.
And chocolate slice. There wasn't very much else going on there.
No, but I have to say, I mean, I said it as a joke, but it was perfect. Like his looked the most like it would be in the shop, like people who've made them a million times.
They looked exquisite.
Yeah, like, because when it's quite hard, in the time, that's the hardest thing, where you get the perfect lines and the perfect layers. And he really did have that down to a T.
He was very calm as well. Very calm episode for him. Christelle went from the sublime to the ridiculous. She was doing 9 layers, various variations on coconut and black sesame and yuzu curd. Sounded nice.
I really like black sesame. It's got like a very nutty flavor. So once again, I wanted to eat Christelle's. I just didn't think you needed to have all the layers. She's just trying to add stress into there.
I did enjoy when she was cutting them. Noel called her cack-handed Lil. I enjoyed that. A cack-handed Lil. What does cack-handed mean?
Cack-handed when you can't cut things straight.
Yeah, but like, where's it come from?
Oh, right. I've got no idea.
Because isn't cack-handing what you do?
What you do?
What you do in the
toilet. What you do?
No, I don't. I famously don't handle any cack. All you're doing is like, you're making little cack cradles with toilet paper.
But that would be like, I don't handle a cack because there's toilet paper in between.
But is that what cack-handed is? Are you the original cack-handed Lil?
Right, we're going to look this up. Not now, another time.
Giuseppe, I really enjoyed that he put all of his bake into the oven without having added any flour, like Maggie did all those weeks ago, and then took it out, scooped all back into the bowl, added the flour, then put it back in the oven again.
Yeah, he obviously got onto it very quickly, because if you'd left that a bit too long in the oven, it would have already started cooking and melting. Actually, oven-wise, I realised watching this, because basically the oven opened and Chiggs's glasses steamed up. Did that happen to you in the tent?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. I wasn't wearing my glasses. I'm basically registered blind. How did I do the whole series of Bake Off without wearing glasses?
Why didn't you wear them?
I don't even know now. I didn't have very nice glasses then. I was after Bake Off when I got a bit more money.
So I famously didn't. I invented clear glasses.
Do you remember? Did, yeah.
I wore them on television and everyone started wearing them after that.
Where did you get them from? Did you make them?
They were from... Oh, I don't know where they were from. I can't even remember the brand. They did send me some free ones afterwards that were really ugly.
You are a fashion leader.
A fashion icon. We're going to keep moving on. Basically, everyone got handshakes apart from Jürgen. So the technical was then a sablé breton tart, which was a sablé pastry, raspberry confiture, which is just chunky jam, and pistachio creme mousseline, as well as gilded meringue kisses and chocolate curls in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Right, I've got two things to say first. One, what is the point of the judges' tips? You know when they stand there and say, don't waste your time, read things carefully, shut up and get out of the tent. And second of all, when it's the perfect bit in the tent, I love the way that Prue cut into it and then was like, oh, almost looks like a sponge. Oh, it's almost like you've never seen it before, Prue. But supposedly you've just got to bake it in a tent somewhere. Brilliant, iconic.
Absolutely iconic. It was a good challenge, but one of those like really classic ones where if you don't know what it looks like, you're completely fucked.
Yeah.
And also a sablé pastry is normally just like a thin pastry.
Yeah, because sablé basically just means shortbread, doesn't it? So I wouldn't have known what it looked like. Like basically Jürgen knew what it looked like, so he did well. Everyone but else
if had I was
no idea.
If I was to have to make that, I would have rolled it out really thin and it would be like a really thin disc, which is what some of them did. It just felt like it was a good challenge. I enjoyed it. It looked delicious and it really made me want to eat it. But it felt like a little bit, you were either going to do really well or you just weren't.
And especially if you'd heard of it before, like Jürgen did. I did like the bit where Noel, just stirring things up a bit, walks over to Jürgen and then brings up again that he hasn't got a handshake.
Yeah.
And then Jürgen just mumbles and goes off and cries somewhere.
I liked it when Christelle said, it's still really runny. I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. And then she said, I might start again. And I was like, "You probably, if it's still runny after a couple of goes, you probably should start again, probably. And then Giuseppe, who said that he does it by hand because he can be gentler than a machine.
The truth.
So in the judging, bottom was Chiggs, who somehow managed to make a soggy top. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He had a soggy top. I don't quite know what a soggy top is.
No, I don't either.
Do you know what I mean?
Let's get Chiggs around to ask
Let's
him.
Let's get Chiggs. I don't know how a top can end up soggy. Anyway, third was Christelle, second was Giuseppe, and first was Jürgen. And I bet the producers were livid.
They must have been so annoyed at that point.
They were like, we're trying to get rid of this man, and he's just doing brilliantly. And then Chiggs in the Vox Pop before the showstopper said, I do better with my back against the wall. I bet he does, baby. Right, the showstopper was a spectacular themed banquet display of 12 individual entremets around an edible centerpiece. That's what they call you. In 5 hours. What do you think?
I didn't love this.
I thought it was shit. Yeah, just do the entremets.
Yeah, and the thing is, the entremets, like, this is no shade on the bakers because the entremets were really impressive that they
brilliant.
Managed to do, but they're not really visually spectacular as these little things around. And then the centerpieces were just a bit token. Like when people are using the marshmallow and Rice Krispies and just like Chiggs is basic two biscuits slotted together. And it's not like they didn't have time to do anything else, but it didn't look that impressive.
But if they'd not had to do the weird edible centerpieces, they'd just done like 12 individual entremets that all looked pristine, that would have been good enough for me for a showstopper.
Yeah, apart from the fact that that was my signature when I did the...
You didn't have to make entremets. You had to make a domed tart, please.
Oh, yeah, but the same kind of thing. They'll look the same, though. I think it's not spectacular enough to be a showstopper unless they did something else with them, but the centrepiece wasn't it.
I think if they hadn't done the centrepiece, they could have made the entremets more interesting and therefore would have been fine.
Yeah, they could have styled them just by having loads of nice layers of... cutlery, yeah, not cutlery.
I mean, Chiggs's was the best concept, I thought. Caramelized apples, white chocolate mousse, hazelnut biscuit with mirror glazes. And I loved the concept. With respect, yes, the biscuit tree was not patisserie. It was barely biscuit week level. But the actual entremets, I thought, were brilliant.
Oh,
really,
yeah, fantastic.
Inspired.
I actually really liked the sound of all of their entremets. I know some of them we can't taste and we don't know the textures, yeah, but I think they all did pretty well with the entremets.
I think they did a really good job. I did enjoy that Chiggs, he was making that weird tree out of two biscuits, and then Jürgen made it out of 40, and Jürgen was the one that went home. A fine challenge, not the most amazing, but Christelle did win, and she deserved to win, I think.
Let's get back to your conspiracy. They all did pretty much the same. If anything, I wouldn't say Jürgen was at the bottom there.
No.
I don't know how I would say it was, but... It was
between Giuseppe and Jürgen, and I felt like Giuseppe was going to go, but they wanted Jürgen to go because they wanted the drama. They wanted the drama of it all, I'm pretty certain. And it worked because everyone talked about it for the entire week.
Maybe they just wanted everyone to have really good hair in the final. Because that was a good
Are you saying Jürgen
final.
Didn't have any good hair?
Compared Shots to Giuseppe's?
Fired. Anyway, the final. So Prue turned up wearing a necklace of cable ties, which was very nice. High fashion there. And a signature, which is a good signature, I thought. They had to make an exquisitely decorated carrot cake in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I thought that was good.
Yeah. I think when they come to the final, I like the fact that they pair it back to something that's really basic.
Well, they
just say,
used to
do something.
This year, they had to make breads, biscuits, and whatever it was. It was a nonsense final this year.
In the signature?
Yeah. We complained about it famously about 10 weeks ago.
I've already forgotten about this year. Wow.
Well, it was last year now. But yes, I think it was a good challenge. I didn't like that it was in such short amount of time because no carrot cake is going to be baked and cooled and iced in 2 hours. That's just not possible.
Yeah, and incredible that Giuseppe thought it'd be a good idea to do one massive cake and cut it up.
Do you think that's because Giuseppe just hadn't had time to practice it? Is that the problem?
This is, so what people don't realize is we get the briefs ahead of time, but you don't get the final.
No.
So while you're still trying to scramble and do Bake Off, they then send you the final brief in the quarterfinals or something.
It's the week before quarters, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to try and come up with the ideas while still trying to do things, thinking I've got to try and stay in the competition. So you don't actually have a lot of time to
think
about.
And then in the normal world, when they're filming not in a bubble, you finish filming, say, on the Sunday, you come back on the Monday, you have to then practice these recipes that you've only just created or come up with. And you also have to do the backstory filming where your family tells you that they're very proud of you as well in a day. Yeah. So you basically have 2 days to create all these recipes in zero time.
Or what you can do is you can get Michael and Henry around to help you.
That does work. Famously works. So Chiggs said it was the second time he'd ever made one, which was a bit worrying. But I thought he looked fit this week, didn't he?
Yes, he
I mean,
did.
Bar the carrot cake and fuck off. He looked great.
He looked tasty.
That shirt and then like with the chain visible through like the two buttons undone. Oh, 10 out of 10. He did finish early, which was strange considering how little time they had.
Yeah, his was...
Were you about to make a comment about finishing early? Yeah, I saw your mouth twitch there. I don't think Chiggs finishes early.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think he's got some stamina.
His was quite simple, though, so I can see why... Because the thing is, when you've got so little time, you're going to rush. You're going to try and do it quickly. So I can see why you might, even though it's a small amount of time, I can see why you might finish early.
I thought his looked the best out of all of them, to be honest. I loved the square look of it. It looked very patisserie. It looked much more patisserie than his tree that he made the week before. But Christelle's was the one I wanted to eat. Pistachio, cardamom and orange in the carrot cake. Stunning.
Yeah, she said, I'm putting fresh cardamom in. I mean, surely she wasn't. Surely she just meant ground cardamom.
Yeah, but it'll be ground recently. Like, if you know how...
Oh,
if
rather
you have,
than just buying it.
Yeah, if you buy spices and you leave them in your cupboards, they just go dusty and nothing.
You could tell. The box that she took that out of was definitely a home box.
Yeah, for sure. So... Basically, they all got nice enough feedback. They were all a bit stodgy and a bit messy.
They always say that.
Because they needed more time, which is good because it could have just given them more time. But there we go. Technical was 12 Belgian buns filled with sultanas and lemon curd in 2.5 hours. And I'm just going to read out the instructions they had. Are you ready? Make Belgian buns filled with lemon curd and sultanas. That's number one. Number two, pipe icing in a zigzag pattern across the buns. The end.
But you know what? They're all laughing about this. It's not exactly difficult.
It's an enriched dough, it's lemon curd, and it's sultanas.
Yeah, and they're swirling like cinnamon rolls. So it's one of those ones where it's like, oh yeah, it's funny because it brings a drama and everyone can talk about it. And anyone that doesn't know baking might think it's difficult, but actually, that's actually easier than some of the technicals where you don't have a clue what it is, but there's a lot more
like assembly, whatever that was that we just spoke about.
Yeah.
I loved this challenge. I love the technicals where it's something they should know how to do and they give them no instructions. Like, that's my favorite kind of challenge. Although Giuseppe was genuinely livid. You could see it in his eyes. Like, he was furious.
Yeah. I mean, furious because he didn't know what it was, which seemed quite strange.
Has he been to Greg's?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or any high street bakery.
Others are available. He seems genuinely livid. I loved Christelle, who was like an innuendo machine during this one. She wasn't sure how thick her buns should be. And then she said, I need to have enough time for my buns to cool before I glaze them. You don't want to have to glaze your hot buns, do you?
No, definitely not.
They're definitely better be cooler. It'll just run straight off.
Well, if it's sticky enough, it won't.
No, but if they're warm...
Yeah.
It'll loosen the glaze, won't it?
Yeah, it will.
And it'll just trickle down the sides.
Yeah.
Little wince from Alex there in the corner.
I love the most that Christelle won.
Yes.
She won a technical.
Third was Giuseppe, burned. Second was Chigs, tall. And first was Christelle, perfect. That's what I wrote down. Very good. Showstopper was a Mad Hatter's afternoon tea. They had to display four different baking disciplines, and they had to include both sweet and savoury in 4.5 hours.
Classic Showstopper. Lots going on, colourful, exciting. Like, I thought it was good.
It was good. The brief was broad enough, I thought. Like, yeah. It was, you have to do four different baking disciplines, but you can do anything you want. I don't like it when it has to be one bread, one biscuit, one this, because they could do pastry or they could do desserts. They could do anything from any time. And sweet and savoury. Yeah, I thought it was a good challenge.
I mean, in general, what we found out is that these three bakers are very talented because they did a lot of great things. It was very hard to kind of pull them apart. Basically, I made up my own. I actually wanted Chigs's jammy dodgers with the black pepper biscuits, Christelle's curried pies and her chai tea cakes, and Giuseppe's panna cotta and asparagus and pea shoes. So I think they should all win.
Did you notice Chigs's little mushrooms that look like a field of willies?
Oh, they did, yes.
They did, like a little field of willies.
Quite big heads, big red heads.
Very big red heads. Bulbous,
yeah.
Some would say, yes. I thought it was very good, actually. Overall, they did very well. Christelle said she liked to finish it off by hand, which is always important. Famous doesn't like a machine. But Giuseppe, I thought, oh, this is maybe controversial, and I think he's a very talented baker, and his book is absolutely brilliant. I think Giuseppe only won because Christelle fucked the focaccia. Not literally, figuratively.
Interesting.
Because her focaccia was raw, but hers looked the most visually stunning. She was first in the technical. Her signature, I think, was the best tasting of the lot, the most finished of the three unfinished bakes. And her showstopper looked visually stunning. It was just that the focaccia was literally raw.
I hadn't thought about that before, because to me, in my head, it was like Giuseppe had won Bake Off from the first episode. But you're right. The only thing is it was raw.
They couldn't give somebody a win when they literally made something that was uncooked.
Yeah, and
as the centerpiece of their entire bake.
And Giuseppe's was kind of faultless. It might not have been as exciting, it might not have been as good as Christelle's across the board, but everything was right.
And I mean, like, obviously they're all incredibly, incredibly talented. I mean, Christelle's got a book coming out this year? I don't know when. But, and Giuseppe's, his baking is exquisite. And perhaps across the entire season, Giuseppe was a lot more consistent, for sure. But in the Bake Off tent, the final is down to the final only, not about the season.
And Giuseppe kissed the spatula.
He did kiss the spatula.
That's why
I would like to have kissed Chigs.
Right, onto the taste test. This one comes from Daphne, I love that name, who has revealed herself as a global ambassador for eating tinned soup cold.
Divisive. I wonder if producer Alex will yelp again about this one. We'll find out shortly. You know the drill. Is it a yay or a nay from Daphne?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, it's us, interrupting us to promote us. If you'd like to support us, you can join our Patreon.
It's called our OnlyFlans, and you will get this.
Okay, I'll see you never then.
Well, you don't exist then.
Well, like, goodbye forever.
And a bit of this.
Devon and Cornwall argue about where to put the cream.
Mm.
And a bit of that.
I don't want any part of me to be needed.
Hey, what about this?
This sounds like quite concerning. Do the police know about this?
Well, there's a statute of limitations.
It's Whitby. It's Whitby. Yeah, we don't actually know what's being put in there. Hopefully it was all really good stuff and now you want to join us. How much does it cost, David?
It costs about the same price as a cup of coffee each month.
Just have one less coffee and have loads of extra content over at patreon.com/stickybunboys. We're going to start this one with a little input from producer Alex. Your thoughts, please.
Rank.
There we go. Rank. That's actually what people described him as on his social media platforms. He was on Hinge and they were like, no, thank you. Rank. What do you think first?
I don't like it. I had a cousin that used to eat tinned tomato soup cold and it's not my thing. But weirdly, I really like gazpacho and saramejo and all those Spanish cold soups. So I'm probably being a bit snobbish, aren't I?
See, I think if it's one of those condensed soups, I'm into it. Because it's more like a pudding. Do you know what I mean? But like condensed cream of chicken soup, cold, yes please.
Wait, when you say condensed, are they the ones that where they come out, they kind of make that sound and they're kind of still
that
like...
That was a nice noise. Make that noise again. That was lovely. If we could name the podcast that this week, that would be lovely. What? How would you spell that?
I think it starts with a G, that's all I know.
Well, a G-C-H.
Yes.
G-C-H-O-A-M.
Yeah. But then it stands upon its own. You're meaning like that.
Yeah. And then you add milk to it to make it, you add milk or water to make it kind of runnier. You can make a lovely pasta with that. So like you get, like you make your pasta and then you get condensed cream of chicken soup and condensed cream of mushroom soup, make them go into the pan and then add your pasta, done.
Yeah, well, fine. That's a warm pasta. Basically, what I'm saying is, Daphne, enjoy jail with Michael because you two can definitely...
I feel like it's a new year, new me. You don't have to go to jail, Daphne. You do not have to pass go. You can pass go, collect your £100, but don't go to jail. I'm not doing the next bit. It's all you. I don't actually know any of these questions.
Oh, well, in that case, this first one actually is very, very good. This comes from Dennis. Dennis with two N's.
The Menace.
Yeah. Michael and David, I have a challenge for you.
I like they put my name first, by the way. Normally, it's David and Michael.
I know.
Because of the alphabet annoying, and stuff, but it's fun. I liked it. Hmm.
You have to describe GBBO Bakers as a bake. And see if the other person can guess who you're describing.
Okay, miso caramel tart.
Well, that's Christelle.
What about a tiramisu?
Giuseppe.
Or, I don't know whether you'll get this one, an upside down pineapple cake.
An upside down pineapple cake. I'm picturing pineapple rings, which look quite like an anus. Who has a nice anus that I've seen on Bake Off?
Whose anuses have you seen from Bake Off?
Prue's. But I'm trying to think of the bakers.
One of her tunics wasn't long enough. Got a little flash.
Oh, God. I always start these and Michael always takes it too far.
Me?
I don't know who
you cradle your own shit in your hands.
Yeah, but you started talking about poo probably.
Right. Who is an upside down cake? I don't know. Is it Amanda?
No. Who loves pineapples?
I don't know.
Alice.
Alice.
Everything yes. in her house is covered in pineapple. She's obsessed with a pineapple.
That is true.
One more. A communion biscuit.
Henry.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got an easy one for you first of all. A ginger nut.
Is that easy? Andrew Smith.
Yes.
Was it Andrew?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. I mean, that's it. Stressful.
Quite simple. How about a Paris-Brest?
French boobs. Who's French?
French boobs.
Who's French with nice boobs? Paris-Brest. Manon.
Yes. Yes. We're doing well with this.
French with nice boobs. That's what her dating profile say. She's a mother. I shouldn't talk about her like that. She's a mother.
How about sausage pie with a tasty gravy?
No, it's going to be someone you fancy. Are we going back to the shed from the other week? Were they in the shed?
Yes, they were in the shed.
Was that what was happening?
Yeah.
So it's Selassie.
No, Selassie wasn't in the shed, but Selassie will do.
Will do. Chigs.
Yes, it's Chigs.
Pork fest. Oh, no, yeah. No, George had a pork fest. Anyway.
Oh, it could have been George as well, actually. But I don't know. Yeah. How about angel cake? Yes, it's you, Michael.
Oh, you flirt. God, every week.
Or a creamy scone.
Oh, I liked that game. That was fun.
Right, thanks, Dennis.
Actually, if anyone has any more they can think of, if they can describe a baker as a bake and send it in, we can, like, make that a thing.
Oh, yes,
that'd
definitely.
Be fun. And if they don't, this is the last you'll ever hear of that.
The ruder the better, please. Next question is from Alex. I have had some sad news to start 2023.
You could have just told us, Alex. You didn't need to write in.
Yeah, it's not this Alex. I don't think he bakes. My trusty and beloved spatula decided to break under the weight of a very butter-heavy brioche dough. We've been together almost my whole baking life, and I'm not embarrassed to say I cried. I haven't found the right headspace to look for a new one. Do you have a piece of kitchen equipment you love as much as I loved my spatula?
Also, why were they using a spatula for a dough?
Yeah, you know when you get a very sticky wet dough, though? Sometimes I do use a spatula because then you get nicely down the sides and flip it over.
Yeah, but like, you would never break a spatula from getting down the sides. You just use a dough hook.
I think it's spatula because it's quite old. I think it was quite brittle. It was on its way out.
Do you know what, though? Like, my spatula is my favourite thing in the world. I've got a lovely spatula from Marks and Spencer's about 8 years ago. It's grey. It's quite strong until the edges where it's quite like...
Flexible.
Like me, really. Strong until you get to the edges, then I like it might break.
Because it took me a while to buy a new spatula, I got a nice new grey one as well, and I bought two.
Yeah, it's important. It's important.
Oh, this has been nice. Okay. Next question
that
is
was
from...
so earnest as well.
Oh, I love my... We all love our spatulas.
We just love our spatulas.
It's all about spatula. I also do like my microplane. I find that very useful. You know, like the grater that's got... But it's like really fine grater.
Oh, like a zester.
Yeah, like the zestery microplane thing.
I've got a Joseph zester, which is lovely.
Yes,
it's got like a little
too.
Scoop on the back that kind of like gets rid of the zests.
I love Joseph.
We could do a whole episode on different implements. I love some of my kitchen aids. Not my kitchen aids. My kitchen aids. Yeah. Not my kitchen aid. Who's quite weak. She's quite weak and noisy now, my kitchen aid.
Actually, yeah, I want to get one of those proper industrial ones. Mine like walks across the counter.
You're holding your pinky up again when you're holding your mic. Every so often it just pings up.
Right, Mags. This is from Mags. Every year on Bake Off, we have special weeks where they feature a food culture slash ingredient as the theme for the bakes or cooking for that week. Chocolate and caramel are known to be pretty tough, and we know the production team have struggled with Japanese and Mexican week. But what special week would you like to be featured on the next season?
Oh, that's quite good.
Basically, I don't want to say what I want because then Bake Off will wreck it. Because I would quite like to see a Swedish
week. They don't listen. Controversially, I'd either like to keep seeing these different weeks from different places. I'd love a Scandinavian week, for example. Yeah. But they need to bring in a guest judge from that country to make it less offensive and for them to consult on it so it doesn't become a bit weird. But I would quite like to see a sourdough week.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because, like, it's not just the breads. The breads could obviously be the showstopper, and we've spoken about that kind of idea of a golden hour the night before or whatever. But then you could also do like sourdough crackers and sourdough brownies and like using sourdough discard as an ingredient for something else. And like, I don't necessarily think it needs to be their own sourdough starter. I mean, if they walked into the tent and they were given each 300 grams from the same starter, it levels the playing field.
Yeah, and also it would broaden people's horizons for what sourdough is, because sourdough isn't just bread. You know the injera, the Ethiopian bread?
No.
It's like it looks like a crumpety pancake.
Right.
That's technically sourdough because it's a soured batter.
But you can make anything yeasted. You can make with a sourdough starter in a way. So I'd love to see that. That's my suggestion.
That is good. I would like Sweden, so like the Scandinavian week for you. But I would also like a week that's basically a fruity week. fruity.
Just the gays.
Because just the gays. Everyone else can sit at the front and watch.
All heterosexuals are banned from the week.
Because fruit goes really well in bakes, but also it can replace sugars. It can also be very, very decorative and things. So I think a fruity would be quite good.
That'd be good. Yeah, I like that.
Because they could also pick a single fruit to do for the technical somehow, so that everything is blackcurrant and it's all different flavours and not different flavours, different colours and levels.
Levels.
I haven't thought this through very much, but...
No, but it works.
Fruity
it works.
Week. Okay, this one's from Anon. Anon says, let's talk about kinks. My question is, when is a good time in a dating schedule to talk about your kinks?
A schedule? They have a calendar.
I, for example, like urolagnia. It looks like lasagna, but got ura at the start. Which apparently is sexual excitement at a golden shower.
Oh, so like piss.
Yes.
Sure.
But never know when...
I feel like we've gone from spatulas to piss very quickly.
Yeah.
But sure, fine.
And that's okay.
That's fine.
But I never know when to tell a date about this. If it isn't something they can get on board with, I feel like I've wasted a lot of time on the first two dates. Wow, so they're doing it on the third date. But it would be a bit creepy announcing this on a first date, wouldn't it? Help. This
How is it a waste of time? Like, it's quite a specific kink.
It is quite specific. I guess people do have things. It is an interesting question, though.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be with someone and you have a very specific thing that you get lots of sexual desire from, sexual whatever from, then you do need to know when to tell them, because you might have wasted time if you're going through date after date after date, and then that's like, okay, well, I'm not into that.
Yeah,
so.
But then is it like, do you desperately need it? Or is there something you like but can get away with not having? And like, it's something that also, like, if you're with someone for a long time, that they might be like, well, it's not really for me, but I know you like it, so I'll do it for you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's a yes or no right now.
Yeah, for this person, it seems like this is sex for them. Like, they need to have this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, then sooner.
Date one.
Date
in
one.
Your profile.
Hello, my name's Michael. I like piss. No?
Yeah. I also think nowadays...
But like, I feel like sex comes up sooner.
Yeah.
Please no one cut that out as a...
Yeah, just that bit for Michael talking. I agree. I think nowadays, I think you should feel free to talk about that on a first date.
It's actually interesting. Like, I kind of thought about this recently, because the whole thing when you're dating is like, is that person going to be a top? Is that person going to be a bottom? Are they going to like what... Do you know, in gay culture, you kind of have to... have a bit of an idea kind of what that person's going to like sexually anyway. I mean, it's not quite into fetishes, but it's just about what they're into. And like, it is hard to know when you can kind of bring that up, and can you bring it up in a bit of a jokey way, or like that kind of thing is quite difficult. I don't really have an answer, because I find it quite difficult to work out that vibe of stuff myself. But I do think you are able to talk about sex early into a relationship if you want to.
Yeah.
Surely.
A relationship? First date relationship.
Yeah. Maybe that's my problem. I think of the first date as the beginning of a relationship.
I'm already married. Yeah, I agree. I think nowadays people, you can talk about these things early. And also, I just generally think people are more up for trying things nowadays.
I'm not going to yuck anyone else's yums particularly, but if it's not for me, I'll just say, that's not for me. If it's a deal breaker for you, then that's where that ends. But if it's not, then we can kind of move on.
That's it. Michael, sorted out your schedule, Anon.
There you go. And that's your lot for this week. We cannot wait to jump into the traitors from next week, but don't you worry, we're not going to leave you bereft of your baking fixes.
That's right. If you join our OnlyFans, we'll continue uploading recipes and spilling tea, as well as including exclusive episodes where we review Bake Off's holiday specials.
And that is over at patreon.com/stickybunboys. I don't know where we're going to find the time for all of that, to be honest, but it does sound like fun.
Remember to send your questions, stories, and taste tests over to stickybunboys@gmail.com. And if you've got any burning questions, about the traitors, we'll do our best sleuthing along with our special guests and answer them for you too.
We'll see you next week, you lucky ducks.
Keep them sticky. Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Oh, very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.